It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes a girl's just got to clear her throat. What are you going to do? And if it happens on live radio, well, then you know we're real people and not AI. Okay. It sounds like a duck. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find our Facebook page named after that without the sound effects. And you can also use our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Pretty exciting as we get closer to the end of the baseball season and we ramp up toward October, which is not just baseball playoffs, but also a great month for football. And if you're wondering, the start of fall is officially this weekend. Let's go! Favorite season of the year for many reasons. If you haven't seen it, I was tweeting about it earlier on, Wednesday? It was Wednesday at A-Law Radio. So yes, fall is my fave for a lot of reasons. And once I get this next half marathon done, I will feel a lot less pressure. Goodness. I don't know if it's because of the training and the humidity. Man, it was really humid on Wednesday when I was running. Or I don't know, maybe I'm just not as ready as I generally am, or I feel not as ready as I generally do. So I'm a little bit nervous about it, but it comes up a week from Saturday, so I got to press through. We have now two teams that have clinched the playoffs as we head toward October. The Brewers lock up the NL Central title on Wednesday, and in Seattle.
No balls, two strikes, the pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. It's the ball game. The Yankees win it 2-1 and 10, and they are heading back to the postseason.
For the sixth time in 7 years under Aaron Boone. Now, Aaron Judge may not be setting any new records when it comes to home runs, but of course, he's a major part of what they've done this season, their MVP, potentially the AL MVP. And just like everybody else in the clubhouse, this is not the end.
You know, I know everybody in this room knows that we're out there hunting a division, and, you know, that's the first goal going into the postseason. But I think punching our ticket in there is something special, so we want to celebrate tonight and then get ready for tomorrow.
I know that people don't love celebrations for things like clinching a playoff spot. Some purists or maybe those get off my lawn peeps would say, don't have fun, don't chew gum, don't blow bubbles, don't celebrate when you've only locked up a playoff spot. But I say, celebrate to the hilt. These guys work so hard. It's a long season. It's a grind. 152 games they've played. I don't know how they do it. I can't even imagine having to show up at the ballpark every single day. That includes spring training as well, which maybe isn't quite so intense. But they are away from their families for the better portion of the entire spring and summer, not to mention into the fall. So the teams that actually make it to, I don't know, divisional round, on into the World Series, there's another month potentially that tacks onto their season. So you're talking about starting in mid-February and not ending until, let's say, mid-October. That's a lot of time on the road and a lot of hours spent at the ballpark. So celebrate like it's 1999. And that's Aaron Judge on the Yankees radio network. Justin Shackle with the play-by-play. All right, now we're pleased to welcome Maury Brown, who covers Major League Baseball for Forbes and is joining us from the Pacific Northwest, where, yes, the Seattle Mariners end up losing in the 10th inning to these Yankees, who clinch a playoff spot. Now, we saw the Yankees have a bit of a swoon in the, I guess you would say, around the All-Star break, kind of midsummer. They were terrible. What makes them so dangerous now, Maury?
Yeah, I think the big thing, right, is they seem to have gotten their pitching somewhat sorted out, right? I mean, you know, tonight wasn't any kind of major win, right? They basically eke out a 2-1 victory in extras. You know, they're playing Seattle, who's, you know, woeful in terms of offense. But they're making the wins happen when they need to have them happen. I don't know if we can say that the aura of the Yankees is back by any stretch. I mean, this is just simply not what we had in the late 90s and the early 2000s. But I will say it feels a little bit different. The chaos and the randomness of the postseason, I will be interested to see how they match up now that they've clinched.
While we're talking about the American League East, the Orioles have struggled. They've dropped 9 of 12. What's going on with them?
Untimely hitting, for one. You know, everybody goes through their slumps. Some slumps are longer than others, and this is not the place to have them. I always wonder, Amy, I mean, this is the thing that's very hard to look at. Everybody goes through these slumps, and then the good teams, of course, turn them around faster. When is it not a slump and something more systemic? And I'm looking at the Orioles right now. They're not losing a few games. They're losing a lot of games in this stretch. It's just not the place for them to be. You know, are they going to back themselves into the postseason? It looks like it. Are they going to make as much noise as I maybe thought that they were, you know, maybe 2 months ago? I'm not so sure right now.
We had another team clinch a playoff spot on Wednesday. That's the Brewers, their third National League Central title in 4 years. And this is a team that for a while was kind of battling with the rest of the Central, or at least a couple teams there, and then blew that division out of the water. How'd they do it?
Yeah, and you know, again, I think that you kind of mentioned it right there. It has been a division that has not been able to get any traction. And so it was ripe to have a team that has been consistently well. Again, I think the thing that's always bothersome when you look at this is you go, oh, in the vacuum of division play, they look like they're going to run, you know, the table. When they get into the playoffs, right, everything tends to change quite a bit with them. I don't want to read too much into it. I'm not discounting them by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a weak division quite a bit, right? And very streaky in spots. I'd be interested to see how they do, clinching a postseason spot, how they do.
We're always happy to have our friend Mari Brown on the show. He's a senior contributor covering baseball for Forbes, and he's with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Both leagues are top heavy, and so there are some real races for best record and home field. Who needs that the most, Mari, when it comes to the playoffs in October?
Yeah, this is a really great question. I think that the Dodgers probably need this a little bit, and I say that in the sense that they have just seemed to struggle in the postseason so badly. You know, they're trying so desperately to get over that hump. Certainly the Yankees, I think, could use it. You know, there's just such an electric environment in that situation. It's been really wild to watch how some of these teams have been. Their splits have been really interesting. I'm going to sit there right now. I'm going to pick on those two teams right now and say that I think that that would be helpful.
The Dodgers certainly have some challenges with their pitching. It seems like more often than not, it's a pitcher getting hurt and not part of the rotation than it is some positive news. But we know for Shohei Ohtani, it's been an historic year already. Another stolen base on Wednesday. So he's sitting on 49. He's got the 48 home runs. How significant, how big a deal would it be to have a 50-50 season?
It's remarkable. And, you know, Amy, it's so hard to look at history when you're sitting on top of it. I think that oftentimes we sit there and we just kind of take it for granted. And I still, to this day, I don't know if we've ever seen a guy like him. And it's just such an extraordinary thing. Remember, he could come in. I can't believe that we're saying this. It's possible that he could pitch in the postseason. And that, to me, just blows my mind on top of everything else. Is he going to win the NL MVP? I don't know. You know, it's a pretty tight race right now in that spot. But if he goes 50-50, I think that he's going to get it. And right now, I think that he's going to, you know, I think it would take something pretty extraordinary for him not to get it at this stage. Every year I sit there and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, he got dinged up again, you know, in terms of his pitching. And then here we are in the middle of it. And I think that that was the thing that was lost when he was being a two-way guy last year, which was we failed to think about just how solid he is in pretty much every facet of the game. God bless it. I mean, if I'm Rob Manfred, you want that guy to go deep into the postseason, right? You want him. You want Aaron Judge. he would never had that opportunity with the Angels. And I think that there is the possibility, again, until they get their monkey off their back. But again, I think it would just be great for baseball for him to get more of a national platform. So I'm rooting for him in that sense and looking for the Dodgers. You know, at least they need to get out of the first round, at very least.
I have this theory that he could put numbers like this together every year at the plate if he weren't pitching. I mean, we've heard him talk about how much he has to sleep when he's doing both and that he doesn't take BP because of the fact that he's also thinking about pitching and every fifth day and the work that goes into that. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder how much better he could be as a hitter if that's all he was doing, Maury.
Well, this is the thing. Everybody was like bemoaning the deal that he was going to get and the fact that he was, of course, dinged up as a pitcher. But if I look at his mechanics as a hitter, just the way that his body is built and the way that his swing runs through the plane, he has just such a remarkable mechanics. Of course, those things change a bit over time, but I don't see that for a while. The Dodgers are smart. They were very smart in this. I mean, he's a marketing panacea for them. They're going to make, they've already made a ton of money just marketing that guy. And so the fact that he can go ahead and do what he's doing right now on the base paths and at the plate shows that there's this extended value. Again, if he pitches in the postseason, he rests up, he's able to pitch next year. Let's say he can only pitch maybe two more seasons. He still has exceptional value. I mean, it's, again, one of those things that we have never seen anything like this, not since Ruth was with the Red Sox.
Maury Brown is with us covering baseball in the end of the regular season for Forbes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Phillies right now are the best team in baseball in terms of a record. They've had some close calls, some near misses the last couple years. How prepared are they now for the October stage?
I think they're the most prepared right now. They look really good. I mean, if I was going to sit there and go, what's a team that should make the postseason but go deep, I would say it's the Phillies. For the reasons that you mentioned, Amy, I mean, they were right there. They were right there. There is, of course, some randomness of the postseason. I talk about this often and write about it. It's so different now that we have the wild card series, how this can change.
Yes.
And so you would sit there and you would go, oh, the regular season matters. And it really matters when I look at it. But I do have to look at them and say that it would take something catastrophic on their part and some team just coming in ultra white hot with their pitching and their hitting to go ahead and upend them right now. I have to look at them certainly as the favorite to get to the NLCS and maybe, of course, win the World Series at this stage.
The Padres are closing in on a wild card spot after a swoon in 2023. How did they get back to relevance, Maury?
I think that there was taking pressure off of them, quite honestly. And there was so much pressure on them. Of course, we had the PED situation with Tatis, and there was all the clubhouse stuff. We saw what happened with Manny Machado and him. And I just think that the chemistry was kind of upside down. Pitching certainly matters, but they're just one of these things where they've kind of slid under the radar. I would get back to the fact that there's parity. Parity at the top. You're not going to have a team, unless there's something absolutely remarkable at this point, you're not going to have a 100-win team. And we haven't seen this in a while. There's certainly, you know, problems at the bottom, and God bless the, you know, Chicago White Sox right now for that. But again, it's been pretty balanced in the top third of the league. And that, I think, really plays into a lot of it. I think that there's just opportunity there. And again, the Dodgers, for as great as they are, pitching has always been the large question. I mean, Kershaw obviously is a big, huge question right now, and just around how their overall rotation is going to be going into the postseason. So I think that they look at it as an opportunity.
So a couple of teams that we haven't seen in the playoffs in a while are hanging around in the American League, the Royals, the Twins, the Tigers, all from the Central. Of course, the Mets rebounded from what was an abysmal start. The Diamondbacks, they were obviously in the World Series a year ago. Which of these teams do you think has the most staying power come postseason?
Yeah, this is a great question. First of all, if the Twins don't get some things sorted out pretty quick, and the Tigers continue on this, you know, torrid stretch that they've won. They've won four straight. They're a half game out if I was a Twins fan right now, I would be beside myself. I mean, it's just very hard to watch. And so I, in terms of staying power, it's a great question. The team that I think, and I don't know how many times we're going to have this conversation, seems to happen every year, is the Houston Astros. I look at them as the team that I would be the most afraid of right now. There's been a couple of incidents right now around some minor injuries, Bregman and Altuve. We had the weirdness last night where he took his shoes off and got ejected. And that's going to be a great, I love baseball because of stuff like that. But again, their pitching started to come around. The Astros were so bad to come out of it. And I expected them to regress a little bit. And that was part of the reason why the Mariners opened up a 10-game lead on everybody and then swooned. I honestly, right now, if I was afraid of any team right now simply because they've been there so much and they've been able to go ahead and get their pitching sorted out, I would look at the Houston Astros.
You brought up the White Sox. I was going to ask you, but as we wrap up, they've had a brutal season, of course. It's not the first one to have as many losses as they do. And, of course, we're not at the end of the regular season yet, but 117 at this point. How do you begin to fix that?
Well, they have to rebuild their farm system. I mean, this is something that's been a glaring hole for them for a while. And I think that they're trying to set the expectations for fans that this is not something that's going to get turned around next year. You're just not going to be able to do it with free agency. They're that bad. I mean, Amy, I don't know if the fans saw this already, but if you go out and look at the White Sox Twitter account, they said something to the effect of, "We lost again. The other team scored more runs." I mean, that it wasn't even that they didn't even list the score. It was amazing in the sense that it was like, this is what we're sitting upon. They're going to lose 120 games. They're going to tie or surpass the 62 Mets. The real question, I think, is largely going to be like how their win percentage is going to be in relationship to it. And again, I think that it is one of those things to where they've, you can only rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic so many times. They fired Kenny Williams. They've fired their manager. They've tried to do this a number of ways. They brought in Tony La Russa. It's just not worked. And this, I think, again, speaks to the fact that they just have not been able to develop. And if you're a modern team right now, if you don't have a good farm system built up, you're just not going to be able to do this sort of thing for very long. It's just so competitive now. Teams are able to scout each other so much better than they have, even in the last 5 years, that if you just don't have a pipeline and then augment with free agency, you just can't go out and buy free agents right now and expect to turn around a team that bad that fast.
Mm. The official tweet, "The other team scored more runs than us. It's only been viewed 4 million times with 85,000 likes, and it's barely 7 hours old now." So, yeah, there's a lot happening, but the White Sox not part of October. You can find Maury Brown online at BizBall, B-I-Z, Ball, Maury, and he's a senior contributor for Forbes. We seem to love him. We keep dialing your number, so thank you for responding to the call, still taking our call and talking baseball with us.
All right, Amy, you have a great evening now. We'll talk to you later.
If you haven't seen that tweet from the Chicago White Sox, it's just the latest example of how they are trying to take it all in stride. Might as well find the humor in it. But it was 7 hours ago, as I said with Maury, final. The other team scored more runs than us. I did retweet it myself with a couple of emojis just because I appreciate the fact that it's a team that is closing in on dubious history and yet isn't going to take itself too seriously. Or at least the social media account is not. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up, so we had talked a bunch about baseball. We want to shift into football just a little bit. Will the Carolina Panthers look to trade their previous number one draft pick, Bryce Young, who's been benched moving in to week number three by the new coach? Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday night heading into a Thursday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bryce is our quarterback. I'd love to see this thing just continue to take the next steps offensively right now. Bryce, our quarterback. We're going to just continue to shore up and fix the things we need to fundamentally from a scheme standpoint. All those things. These are all valuable reps. These are all valuable games. We'll learn a lot from this game, and hopefully we'll take another step this week.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, hey, that was Dave Canales about 4 days ago. But we know on Monday, Bryce Young benched as the starter of the woeful Carolina Panthers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, it seems like a relatively standard question that would be posed. Are the Panthers considering a trade of their former number one draft pick after they've taken him out of the starting lineup?
Yeah, it's not something we're really considering. You know, we have a great situation with our quarterbacks right now with guys that have experience. So we love where we're at, and we're all hands on deck. We're focused on playing the Raiders this week.
All right, except should fans believe Dave Canales when he says that he is, well, that they are not considering a move. Now, it doesn't make any sense to trade him because you don't know, first of all, how Andy Dalton is going to do out there. Can he make it through the season without an injury? Do you want him starting the rest of the way, or is this just more of a reset to spend some time with Bryce Young on the side? Maybe it's about adjusting to a new scheme, a new system. Sometimes, often with the Panthers, it's been about the offensive line. So you don't want the guy to get killed. You don't want to screw him up royally if that hasn't already happened. And yeah, I wouldn't think that at this point you would want him to... You would want him to believe that the season is over. You wouldn't want that to be the idea. And it sounds like a lot of guys around him are encouraging him.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Been through adversity before. If you play football for any length of time, that's just part of playing sports. I don't know what good this does unless that's what they're looking for, a reset and trying to protect him from what's happening on the field, because it does even look like a regression from last season in some ways. But yeah, there is a lot of encouragement coming from inside his locker room, like Miles Sanders.
Anybody getting benched is not going to feel right. I mean, I was in the same position last year, so if anybody that knows what he's going through is me. But it's definitely not over for him. You know, he's still a young quarterback, and he's going to definitely get another opportunity, I believe. So, but all I'd say is just keep your head down, just keep working, and just learn from Andy. That's all.
Now, he definitely can learn a lot from Andy in terms of being a veteran and how to protect himself, number one. Number two, mitigate rough circumstances, which the Panthers are in. And Sanders, he lost his job last season to Chuba Hubbard. And so I appreciate that he is saying, hey, this is not over. He even goes on to say this is his home. He's going to get another shot. Gosh, remember when Adam Thielen was a part of the Minnesota Vikings? Now he's with the Panthers second year. and he's in the same place. And again, these are veterans who are trying to encourage Bryce Young.
Everyone believes in him. I think the teammate he is, the player he is, I think the coaches and players all feel the same way about that. There was just their decision that they felt like that was the best thing that helps us win, gives us a chance to win on Sunday. And as players, you just show up and you give your best effort.
So guys were getting asked about his size, which I think is interesting too, because they certainly had to answer those questions. And that was certainly a factor that was under major scrutiny before he was ever drafted. And Thielen goes on to say that was something that was just so over talked about. Yeah. By the way, there is work for Young to be done. Apparently he's taking the scout team and he's running it now as Andy Dalton is taking the first team reps, and Dave Canales has indicated that they like what they see from him now. So the question becomes how quickly until he gets back into that starting lineup or until they give him another opportunity. Baker Mayfield played for Dave Canales. He was the OC in Tampa last season.
Quarterback's hard, especially for young guys, when you're not surrounded with the pieces that you're not given the opportunity to have success. And so that's a lot of the time guys have the talent, they might have the brains, but they don't have the right opportunity, the right fit. I mean, I'm sitting here right now in a way better fit than the other places I've been. And that's not to put other teams down, but it's a matter of the pieces around you, the coaches. And for Bryce, a guy that, you know, I can relate to this, finding that belief within yourself again, and he'll get it. His story's far, far from finished.
I appreciate that from Baker Mayfield, and that certainly is the wisdom and experience that comes from having been through the ringer himself. He got benched in Carolina himself, actually, before he then was cut at his request, went on to LA for a few weeks, and then ultimately ended up in Tampa. By the way, and I have not heard the audio. I've only seen the headline, but this was from Fox News earlier on Wednesday, in indicating that Baker Mayfield made comments about what the atmosphere was like with the Buccaneers when Tom Brady was there. Did you happen to see this, Marco?
No, I don't even know the story.
Yeah, so again, this is a headline, and I have not heard the audio, but he was speaking to Casa de Club, the Casa de Club podcast this week, and he shared what he heard, so this is secondhand knowledge, what he heard about the vibe and the locker room culture when Brady was there. Now, I'm going to read his quote. Again, haven't heard it from Casa de Club. The building was a little bit different with Tom in there. Obviously, playing-wise, Tom is different. He had everybody dialed in, high-strung environment, so I think everybody was pretty stressed out. Huh. Is that after they won a Super Bowl or before they won a Super Bowl?
And so considering he wasn't in the locker room at the time,
yeah, so
a little out of turn,
right? He's saying that he's heard this from guys. Oh, now, I have never heard this from anybody else in the Buccaneers locker room who played with Brady. But he goes on to say everybody was expecting the Bucs to not be good last year. They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football a little bit for guys that weren't having as much fun, and just continue to raise the competition level. They just asked me to be myself. I guess he's referring to the fact that he butts heads with his offensive lineman without his helmet. But yeah, he is, I don't want to say he's throwing shade on Brady, but he's repeating stuff that he claims he heard, and that everybody was stressed out. It was high strung.
No, some of that could be fair. I mean, you remember that last year with Brady, they were 8-9. Now they made the playoffs, they won the division, but they were toiling. They were a bad team.
And he was a mess. In his personal life, he admitted it, that he had a lot of stuff going on.
Right. And they were expected to be a Super Bowl contender, because if you have Tom Brady, you're expected to be a Super Bowl contender, and as bad as their record was and as much as they were floundering around, they were in a playoff game, and they did host that playoff game against the Cowboys. So there is the idea that I'm sure that there was a lot of stress during that year from Brady's personal stuff, the team expectations. Bruce Arians is gone. Now Todd Bowles is there.
All the questions about when he's going to retire.
Yeah, there was a lot of going on. So I believe in all that, but at the same time, you weren't there.
Yeah.
So you probably should not talk about things when you're not there.
On
even if
Casa
it's,
de Club.
I don't care where the hell. Whatever Casa, whatever club, whatever. If you're not there, whatever guys told you in the locker room to let you know, that's not something you should be sharing if
Agreed.
It wasn't firsthand knowledge.
Agreed.
So that's something that you would think in many years as Baker's been around, he'd have learned that one by now.
You know what's interesting, too? Do you remember the flap with Cynthia Freeland before the start that he made? So week one of his year in Carolina, or half year in Carolina, and he knew that we all knew at this point that the Browns and Panthers were playing in week number one.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia Freeland was covering either a preseason game, and she happened to see him, and she said hello to him, and I guess used a profanity or something like that. And he was like, F yeah. She said something about going to rough them up, or like, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. I'd have to go back and find it. But you remember that he responded with a profanity of his own. And she then turned around and told that story. Now, I don't remember if it was on NFL Network or if it was on a podcast herself. She turned around and she talked about it with us right after that. She actually ended up apologizing because she had shared a story about what Baker Mayfield told her in, I don't want to say in confidence, but not expecting her to turn around and use it on the air. And she ended up apologizing to him because he made a comment about it in a press conference. So yeah, it is kind of interesting that he does this. This to me sounds like the same exact thing, even though he's not pinpointing names and people who told him that it was a high-strung, stressed-out environment.
Look, and I get what he's trying to say, and I understand the concept of it. You know, there was expectations, and they brought me in, and it was battle for the job. And it was, look, hey, just play with the joy, be yourself, and go. Like, I understand the thought process behind it. But this is professional sports. You've been around this long enough. You know how things could get perceived. And you also should be smart enough not to realize to not talk about things that you didn't actually see or hear firsthand. So, look, these are just, I mean, I don't want to say stupid mistakes, but these are things that, as much as he had a great year and Tampa had a monster year and going to the playoffs, winning a playoff game, and I'm sure he's more comfortable. He gets a contract, and it's almost like you let your guard down when you should know better. And maybe the environment, and that's why some of this stuff is long form and podcast form, so that they can get you to let your guard down so you can say things that you shouldn't, like this. But he's got to be smarter than that. Bottom line, you got to know. If you weren't there, you don't talk about it. Bottom line.
Yeah, agreed. You don't want to pass stuff along unless, of course, you have been given permission by a teammate to say this. And right. Like,
and it's not malicious. It's just unnecessary.
But it's not your story to tell. But yeah. So this, just to make sure I'm accurate, people remember this, I'm sure. It was before the season in which Baker was the quarterback of the Panthers. And she reported, I think, I don't think it was NFL Network, but she reported to someone that then put it out there that Baker said he would bleep up his former team. Remember that? He was going to F them up. And so she said that she first encouraged him, and then he repeated back the words like, oh yeah, I'm going to F them up. Now, Baker denied that, and the way that she reported it seemed like he was vindictive and obviously had an axe to grind. Now, that may have been the case, but he certainly didn't want that out there or want it reported. So he denied it. She had to backtrack. But it just is a little bit ironic that now he's sort of doing the same thing when it comes to what teammates that used to play with Brady.
Yeah, and again, it's not, I don't think he was meaning to be malicious or to take a shot at Brady by any stretch. It's just, it's unnecessary, and it's also, you got to be smarter and again, Baker Mayfield, look, you play your best when you've got the chip on your shoulder and you enjoy when people doubt you. That's good.
Still, it's not a great thing to say. Like, you would think that there'd be a V-chip somewhere that they were stressed out playing with Tom Brady. Like, that's, the guy's a Hall of Famer and he won a Super Bowl there. And yeah, of course,
honestly,
playing
even
alongside.
If it's true. What do you gain from this?
Well, that's my point, is that I'm not sure that he needed to be saying it. What doesn't come across well in print.
It's because he's pumping himself up, that he helped
help them calm down.
Be able to get the joy back in the game. I brought that to this locker room that even Tom Brady didn't have in the year before. It's unnecessary.
It's funny.
It's unnecessary.
Also, because after they went 8-9 that season and won the division, It was brutal, but the whole division was under 500. He came in last year, and they only went 9-8. So I don't know that it was any great big shake of like improvement. But
again, the fact that they were competitive last year was a surprise. He was tremendous, and that game was a surprise.
Until the end, the last month, he wasn't that good.
Still, yeah, and he gets the contract, all the thing. He resurrected his career. This is a guy that was going to be turned into a journeyman and a backup, and now he's a starter again in the end. These are all good things. This is a good story. Don't screw it up by speaking.
That's right. Keep your thoughts to yourself. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Lots of encouragement out there for Bryce Young. We'll see how quickly he is back into the lineup. But there are still plenty of people that are ripping the Panthers for the way they've handled this season so far. Obviously, they're terrible. How much does David Tepper have to do with it? Also, is somewhat ironic that Ryan Leaf is loudly weighing in about this. Though we did hear Micah Parsons talk about it, too, on his podcast. More criticism for Carolina. Our social media. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Marlene, the Packers look to be staring at about a month without their starting quarterback. Jordan Love sprained MCL, expected to keep him on the shelf for 4 weeks. But after missing just one game, Love back at practice on a limited basis with the possibility of playing Sunday against the Titans.
I'm going to take the week and just take it day by day and see how it feels. But I'm not going to make any decision on that now. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to that point where I can get in there. But we're just going to take it day by day and see.
Meanwhile, Panthers say they have no interest in trading Bryce Young, despite sending last year's number one pick to the bench in favor of Andy Dalton. Meanwhile, another former top pick in Baker Mayfield asked about the Young situation, as Mayfield has definitely taken the long road to find his new home in Tampa.
Quarterback's hard, especially for young guys, when you're not surrounded with the pieces that you're not given the opportunity to have success. And so that's a lot of the time guys have the talent, they might have the brains, but they don't have the right opportunity, the right fit. I mean, I'm sitting here right now and in a way better fit than the other places I've been. And that's not to put other teams down.
Baseball. Brewers walked it off on the Phillies 2-1, clinching the NL Central for the third time in 4 years. And Milwaukee manager Pat Murphy, very proud of what his underdog group has accomplished.
No one in spring training would have said that Brewers will win the NL Central, except maybe a few guys in that room. And it just talks to one thing. This is a game about people.
Elsewhere, Padres shut down the Astros 4-0. Manny Machado went deep twice. Dylan Cease allowed just two hits over 8 1/3. Braves pound the Reds 7-1. Mets suffocate the Nationals 10-0. So that means that the Diamondbacks and the Mets are still even for that second wild card, 2 games up on Atlanta. Giants erased the Orioles 5-3. The D-backs with a 9-4 win over the Rockies with Corbin Carroll homering twice. A's took out the Cubs 5-3. Yankees fired the Mariners 2-1-10, officially clinching a playoff spot. Guardians took out the Twins 5-4-10. Tigers double the Royals 4-2, so Detroit now just a half game behind Minnesota for the final wild card. Dodgers rock the Marlins 8-4. Shohei Ohtani stolen base number 49, so 48 homers and 49 bags. Red Sox double the Rays 2-1. Cardinals too much for the Pirates 10-5. Rangers blank the Blue Jays 2-0, and the Angels outlast the White Sox 4-3-13. And the Orioles have designated Craig Kimbrel for assignment. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram. With Amy Lawrence.
And this portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We are regrouping, resetting, and repositioning for the upcoming football weekend. But it's not just that, of course, as we head closer to the end of September. Well, then you're talking about baseball, and we also know the WNBA playoffs will have a lot more attention on them this year, too, because of the Caitlin Clark effect. The Fever last home game, no, not home game, Fever last regular season game is coming up Thursday. And so that one is against Washington. They will either finish at 500 or two games above 500. Right now they're 20-19. And then the playoffs on the horizon, no doubt that those will be consumed with a voracious appetite, similar to what all of our games have been so far in this WNBA season. 855-212-4227. October, more scintillating than ever. On our Facebook page, named after the show, I did go back and answer a bunch of your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And I know sometimes you don't get your questions answered. Producer Pete is monitoring. And, of course, we'll have that every single week. It's part of the Hump Show. And I love it. I still enjoy that you all come up with unique and creative questions. And I know for months and months, I was getting the question of, when do we get to see photos from the wedding? When do we get to see your wedding dress? Well, I finally put out a blog post. This will be the first and only time that I share photos of the wedding and the wedding dress. So that's available on my blog. I haven't even shared the link yet on either Twix or Facebook. Just been kind of a busy week, but I definitely will when I get to it. And there's a particular theme to it. It's not just about sharing photos. It's also a tribute to the people that I missed most who were unable to be at the wedding last December. Can't believe it's been 9 months. That's how quickly the sports calendar just, it churns. It churns so fast. And maybe it feels like life is coming at Bryce Young pretty fast too. A lot of people on his side though, this idea that the Panthers have screwed up his development and have actually stunted his growth as an NFL QB as opposed to helping. And that includes former NFL QB Ryan Leaf.
This organization has done nothing to try to help and develop a player that has so much expectation on him. And so, you know, I lay this at the feet of the organization completely. Bryce Young didn't choose to get drafted first overall. He had no say in it at all. You know, he wanted to just play football. He was very, very good in college, and he wanted to play football for a living. And so that's where he's at right now. And unfortunately, you know, I don't know what this means. You know, the team's horrible. They're not very competitive. They're not very talented. And, you know, I think this is the perfect fit for a quarterback who has been through a lot and Andy Dalton, who can kind of right the ship and maybe give him a chance at winning a football game here this season.
Ryan Leaf to TMZ Sports, of all things. But yeah, pointing the finger at the Panthers for their lack of development for Bryce Young, and if nothing else, the fact that he's had to change coaches and coordinators. We're talking about now a third different head coach or interim head coach because Frank Reich was fired halfway through last season. And then moving forward, now they hired Dave Canales in large part for his development of Bryce Young and his ability to develop quarterbacks. And Canales has been positive, complimentary of what we've seen, or what he's seen, excuse me, since Bryce Young was blindsided by the news. That was the report from inside the Panthers locker room. He was blindsided, and that Andy Dalton didn't recognize or know that this was on the horizon either. But yes, Andy, now what, five different teams, going back to the days in which he departed from the Bengals, it's been, you know, almost a different team every year. And so it matters that he's got that experience and can step in. Maybe they need that stability. Also, if you not heard what happened with Will Levis in the wake of the Titans game against the Jets, that's pretty interesting. We'll get to that coming up next hour with QB News. Rashid Shaheed, part of the Saints' success early on, answering the question of what they have to do to convince people that their offense is for reals. So yeah, lots of good stuff as we move forward. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they had an interesting exchange about social media when they were on the Let's Go podcast together. We'll also look ahead to week three on Thursday night, which is Jets and Patriots. And boy, things changed, though it took a while. We'll see whether or not the Jets actually have the upper hand over the Pats, whether or not they can capitalize on, yeah, a team that had a good win last week, though the defense has given up a fair number of points and yards. But can they can they establish themselves as a team to beat in the AFC East? We'll see. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.